哎，咱讲到搞啥？那这个啊，这个电视机电上播特别的电台了呀，咱讲就叫我起码写的，叫我起码当俺那头把的，他们就听别个，嗯，电视这边个，他不让的，你那么两边切过来是，俺的，嗯，跟那切过来是，那俺就是，那电力工具什么，俺那是有，区别于，俺那是到。现在各个工具什么的呀？俺全部铺啊，当所说的工农当不工具什么特别在，但得了呀？那什么钱？他们几个就是三九国宝特别少，甚至工农店里去给利润的，三九国宝特别吃多，那也工具是全部铺的，甚至没法解决，我就不要当冤家当买卖当，他自己所说的岗位要把都是进的铺下当，俺店里俺所说的。对，说那个说上升就缺乏些的，太阳就准备缺乏些的，所以原来什么钱他们就电话的电脑上边给，你这个讲不公平，什么钱他就动画上找我学生边给你就公平，但那另外意思你，就现在呀，菜外那边这个买身边什么当初中送下了说吧的，对那些的说不公平，准确什么，对那个接下来说不都是刚头都接过来也是，对那接班人呢？我的这边地方这个啥麻将，俺那给我这个呀，俺这个把啥就光我有光头光头拍些，俺都是做的是，俺在那个给我啥，恁那接了呀，给我啥就把这些，俺甚至他们这个，中华在这三九国防队就给我学是能我玩家伙的是，俺这些的，你接过来的接清不的是，你买这把银呢，俺那俺这个接对搞不来，几步接完了，西对搞不来，几步出来的嘛多，俺那俺这个。女婿当了，年年都当，在那个库尔当，可这月份呢，就是接着也开也买的，就算在那个就给就住对半呢，你给我住别给我的，那你西头过来接着也要的，在那咱，在那个人家叫我结亲不的，是这样，我说，你都现在看上在那块去了哇。
Good morning. So yesterday afternoon, we continued to look at how to live a meaningful life, how to make the very most of this incredible opportunity that we have all achieved through the attainment of this precious human rebirth with the accumulation of all 18 freedoms and opportunities. And we saw that the very best way to live a life of meaning is to live a life where we are accumulating virtue, developing virtuous ways of thinking. And we went through a meditation practice that one is encouraged to engage in on a daily basis, where one generates a motivation of refuge and bodhicitta, and thereby with a motivation of wanting to accumulate the causes so as to become a Buddha for the sake of others, and with a mind turned with trust and faith towards the three jewels, one makes offerings of varying kinds. And mentioned yesterday in summary or in brief, offerings can be divided into two classes, those of material offerings, such as water bowls and lights and flowers and so forth, and the offering of practice. And so thereby, one is encouraged to make offerings of both material and the practice that one is doing. Having made offerings, accumulated merit, so as to aid one's spiritual development, then one reflects further on bodhicitta, starting with reflecting more deeply on the sufferings of samsara, generating the determination for oneself to arise and all sentient beings to arise from the suffering realms of samsara. Having gone through the stages of that meditation and generated bodhicitta, one generates meditates on the various practices of the bodhisattva, such as ethical restraint, the determination not to bring harm to others by restraining one's mind from being under the influence of the afflictions. And then lastly, one dedicates all the virtue that one has accumulated so that each and every being may attain the enlightened state of Buddhahood. Moreover, yesterday we looked at how if we do not live a life such as this, but we live just the regular life that people live in society. When their time of death comes, and it will come, they will leave all that they have striven to accumulate in this life, such as cherished relationships, possessions, reputation, and so forth. All of that will be left behind. And how much virtue they can take with them to the next life, this is perhaps not as much as it could have been. So we must be sure that we have a correct balance with a focus on accumulating virtue so that we have a large store of merit to take with us to our next life. So continuing from where we finished yesterday, at the end of the 12th into the 13th verse, the short lifespan is fleeting like a flash of lightning. However much you have done from now, this is the time to attain everlasting happiness. Think about this deeply. Do not return empty-handed from this precious human life. Thus, you are well advised to accumulate as much merit as possible. The short lifespan is fleeting like a flash of lightning. This, again, is an important point to reflect on, because we live our life under the illusion of we have time. We have this impression that there are still years, probably decades, ahead of us. We've lived under this illusion for our whole life. But the reality is, our life is fleeting. Time is actually passing very quickly. And that the real meaning of this line is that this opportunity that we have to accumulate extensive virtue, to radically transform our mind, this is fleeting. This is rapidly drawing to an end. Moreover, when we think about the expanse of lifetimes that we have all lived thus far, and those many more still to come, this lifetime itself is fleeting. This opportunity we have to spiritually develop is fleeting. And in this way, or for this reason, it's likened to a flash of lightning. Reflecting like this will lead us to the same outcome. We have to strive to use what remains of this life well, ensuring that our mind stays virtuous and it becomes ever more so. We should not procrastinate, delay till better days, till these current projects are over. We do not have an abundance of time.
え、だでにぎ、あ、ちげ、けおとびえぎ、ちじるし、さんたみね。てなぜあめいけね。ぷじろ、え、にしゅすまろばでね、こ、ろ、じたんほんぷちゅんしょろば、ろ、じゅだじぷぐらちか、ごさみょかしょ。さんたとまろば。あ、でま、じねんちげ、ちげ、ろぷらとぐえちげ、ろじょんちげせ、ちこ、ねんちげ、ろちゅんちゅんえ、だでぎ、あ、どしねん、ん、ちげ、なわけやら、ちじんろ、に、ちげ、にしゅすばでね、でねしね、ちょしゃしゃしゃ、さんたえかれほちゃぐろわ。 但是嘛，今天罗把这家丢完了，罗罗解决所的呢，今天啊，今天啊，这对是罗了，全部吃完，上速度比呢，娘，恁真白的那对是像今年买的，恁是的，第几个？恁这个解除也是没了哇？现在这把的罗是不是早早了哇？罗解决完了，但罗出去的，但罗出去拿了两个，这啊这个说说给两个聊过呀，那个都是自己丢个不了。 确实，人们现在的就是的，运用了修差用了。现在，人家，人家运用起来，啊，他肩膀、肩膀、肩膀、肩膀、下下呢，你来运用住了，现在，人家现在，人家个这个说说说不，堂堂堂不越吧堂，俺人家个这个肉吧，这个肉堂，肉吧，肩膀这个垫不越的，搞不了，俺刚突突结果嘞，俺肩膀、肩膀、肩膀、肩膀，从多少说呢，轮椅训练来那不接。 接下来嘛，接嘛就是轮椅解决法做的那样子，你过好几个，接接我什么呢？那什么绿的、什么团的，接出来了就是该来卡油了。就是你那啥，第六组就第八来的接接我接嘛接我接我什么下下班呢？那怕讲呢都学不呢，那得过好几把接，你们接过好几拉住过来，就是第八来的那样子，或者把它接过来，接进不来，才到那宁波的样子，都是现在过好住些的，那拉不下住些，能过了哇？
When we look at a general expanse of a lifetime, the first period, there's really not much opportunity for spiritual development in that one is physically growing, one is mentally developing. So the process of childhood into early adulthood is filled with a period of growth and development and education. So that's the first large chunk of everyone's life. The final period of an average life, this is marked by decline in capacity, both physical and mental decline, where one's body does not have the endurance that it once had, one's mind doesn't have the flexibility and the recall that it once had. So the average or general lifespan is enveloped in these two periods where one cannot really apply oneself as well as one would like to spiritual development. That period in between, that is where one has our fullest capacity. So depending on, but in that period in between though, one can all too easily be consumed by varying activities relating to career, family and so forth. So here we need to think about this. Again, the purpose of reflecting on this, wherever we are within this cycle, is to be aware of this expanse of time that we believe we have. Really, we do not. And to challenge that belief, to give us courage to turn away from our habitual tendencies, to delay, to not fully apply ourselves, and to rather strive to develop our way of thinking, to develop ourselves spiritually.
Nimichigle samtawe ne hanzo e sarif sene gongta nyehyo e sene chike chizhin shito samta chakaro chit pa chik chakaro goro wa. Da shuwe nam sewe ne dene ya chik hanzo ke shuakshaya saya suru ta nyinggo kala saya jisuru ta an den tuyos ngese yaya chitu dene dushi ne chik chwerub chewe ne 都是你自己过去，还是自己的运用下，运用下的过了吧？那现在两个人做过，那能你来运用下的过了？现在你都自己自己也不就搞不了，都是呢，这个过好这些呗，这个运用了才多。We
can see this same process repeated in a single day. The day starts with varying activities to set us up for the day to come. And the day ends with a period of relaxation and then decline into hopefully deep restful sleep. This is quite similar from an average lifespan. And it's just really that bit in between where we have our full capacity. But that is usually consumed with a lot of activities, engaging with others, work, and so forth. So when we take the illustration of a single day, we really recognize how little free time we have, time to focus on our spiritual development. Into the 13th verse. However much you have done from now, this is the time to attain everlasting happiness. This builds on a lot of what we've looked at in this text thus far. We've all come to this point of where we are right now, independent on remarkable causes that we have attained. We all have tremendous good qualities. And throughout this life, we have been developing those good qualities. Hence, we find ourselves here in this rebirth with this remarkable opportunity. Recognize that, but build on it. Build on it. Don't be content. Don't allow oneself to continue to be deceived by the view that I have time. But rather remind oneself of the certainty of our death, and the uncertainty of the time of death. Because none of us can say with any certainty whether this will come tomorrow or even today. So therefore the time is right now to build on the good imprints that we have, the good qualities that we have, and to do so with a clear goal that we are accumulating causes to ensure ongoing good rebirths, because our next rebirth may come at any time, and moreover, to continue from life to life in our process of spiritual development, accumulating virtue. So in brief, we need to look with a clearer view at the certainty of our death, and where much of our time and energy goes, and reprioritize, gain a more correct balance, and thereby we can build on what we've already achieved.
Then a Daljo Rinchin don't law majesty, sir. Daljo Rinchin don't law majesty, sir. Don't law pass in a penetralaji, Lenga leche, two Lenga, Lenga, Jala Lins, the Lietache, Jala, the Machiaje Palo, and then don't go law watch, Machiaje,
In the third line, do not return empty-handed from this precious human life. See, this may well have happened to you. Imagine a situation where you go somewhere to do something particular, but then you end up getting distracted. Maybe you meet friends and you engage in conversation, a lot of laughter, or you talk about problems and you think about talk with them about how you can overcome your problems. And then you end up leaving, not having fulfilled the purpose of your visit, but rather having been caught up in distraction of either having a good time and enjoying oneself or trying to overcome some fleeting problems. But in the end, not fulfilling your purpose. So this sometimes can happen. We need to recognize this and ensure that this life isn't in this way spent in distraction. We have a remarkable opportunity to accumulate vast stores of virtue, to develop powerful, virtuous ways of thinking, to utilize what remains of this opportunity to do so, and thereby you can have confidence that you will not die with regret, you will not die with disappointment and not having fulfilled your potential.
Milena, Chicke, Sosuke, David, Madribe, Dunga, Du, and Negasore, Pinchin, Makruje, Chiglia, and Nursibe, Dunga, Du, and Denege, and Chick, Nursim Mavada, Dinina, Sosuke, Tungi, Mata, Yakanga, and Tungina, Dene, Matome, Yakosubene, and Nemshi Gudu, Tone, and Tawa Chetabe, Ganga, Chuloge, Ganga, Lunzuchibe, Ganga, Dene Dunga, Mangudu, Sana, Mille, Dine Dunga, Dina Tonshua, Dunga, and Dele Taba Simjan, Dundu, Taba, Dunga, Bottom. Me consul, the Gidu, get Tablan Pile, Labjikap, consul Yamsu Lentu, Dunga, you know, but Nimbo Padi, Padi, Labjikap, Labjikin, 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 ཁྱི that the nigger do not tell a cubic, sweet cubism, came your consciousness, your cubic, and begged that, tell you, tap a chimpy, two more money, became your consciousness, and sign your conjurta, and change some papi, kidin, and the orcas or a dig you, caught in a lamb, the cubic, and begged, Delia, Jamrocheta, Jamruzo. The nigger just do not dinner, pa labia delia, passion to love gin, simple love you do, ne, Luma is going nature to be to the chicken mess and the chicken soya. अने लुआ युसम जे के शे शे के वास के वेसा वाला सब लु लों जे के सो द शेन लिया पा कंजो लिया जेन ले डांग जेन दिगी डुगी इंसें बी के पेम देन द डों इ सेम बा कोम या देने अने शेन जे ने बा छे बा इने जेन ले पा लिया कोन रो माला वा जे को ले जेम जे कोम तो बा जी गी इंसें बी सो बा कोम या ता देने के शेन लिया पेम बा डु सो सो का ले का जुए ने पेम बा डु ये का ले का जे ने जे तो बा जी गी इंसें बी सो बा कोम या ओदिने के नियम ने जे पे याबो रे दांग ने मुदी ने छि गिन से बे के गाशिन चोशिन के वादे ता चुन जे जा दे अ दे दुओ छि ने कोमिन ने दिने आ जुगे सेम दे या जिने के ब्ले सेम नामिया शाल ला मा सों आ जे अन छि के गेजुअल फा दुया दा दिने के अन दिसु यु दु कने यु जे छि दु मि दे तिन ये से शिने दुया शिने दु अन दिने के ने सम दुया रे सम दा दा दुया Dine jine khasang shubha na jine dixel ya, ta nga zun yomong ke tzawa di kane ligdo sepe dhasin marik ba se ligdo ha, di dhasin marik ba se di kane shtu, di bang tuya ya kane sbang ku sempe jeba che tu shidu, ane ta miya pa toba tongpa yin, ta tongpa yin tuwe shera resha as, di ngo tue ne, dine di kombi tongpa yin kombi ya, du sin ta di su re ta nga zun yin, nyamlin che ya di, jine dine di su chasang nyamlin che tuba yin na, tamjin kimbe koba tuwe yu chugu warwa ta nga, ju あ、そう、セミナーで、ニューボルマソンで、デニケケウェザーをニューバシュシャバンさ。で、セミケワサバね、シリバレ、ニャムチェルやろわ。じゃあ、ダジュミルトビがどんろ茶がまもけで、シブシケやちょろわだ。ケワマゴサさん、シリカブレ、ゲワでセミムでチェルをろわ。じゃあ、どんろ茶がまれ。でさ、バチャラマソンな、ドルマソンで、やこけんろやちゃごれ。でさ、じゃあ、どんろマジアセで、まずどうしてね、ニャムチェバいな。だ、どんろメバ。 あの時期、え、定定に点でれや、あの経済的知識で、大大別々の頭で定定運行れせん。だ、宁波で、え、決心に集合だ、実は、宁波で三大念念知恵で入わだ。
Yeah, in the text, we're encouraged to recognize our precious human rebirth with all its potential. This potential we have to live a real transformative life, but that it's finite and is coming to an end. But up to now, so much of our time, as we can come to recognize, has been spent in distraction. Distraction from what is truly meaningful. To the extent that we develop a determination to live a meaningful life, to turn away from distraction, to accomplish what is necessary, but to focus on what is important, then we will be able to cultivate with ease the minds that are presented here, because you will have the mental strength and determination to do so. So the reflections, the order of the reflections starts with reflecting deeply on the sufferings of samsara. This is an indispensable foundation. We need to come to know suffering, recognize suffering, suffering that we experience or have experienced, as well as the suffering that others are experiencing, and we therefore have the potential to experience them in that we have those similar imprints too. Here we need to reflect deeply on suffering, so that we, on suffering and its causes, so that we give rise to a sense of deep dissatisfaction with this continued process of circling in cyclic existence. A wariness of, once again, reacting in the same way to the same stimulus, once again creating the same causes for suffering, and rather give rise to a longing for freedom from that, where one is freed from the arisal of attachments and desire that draws us in a direction, freedom from anger and aversion that arise and repel us from certain things. This yearning we need to cultivate. This is the mind of definite emergence. And it's the first step in the meditation. One follows that with lifting our vision from our own lived experience to drawing in the lived experience of others, recognizing that all other sentient beings are in the same position as me. Each and every other human being, animal, an unseen being yearns for happiness, a state freed of suffering, just like me. But they too are trapped in this same process of circling in cyclic existence for the same reasons. Just like me, it's their afflictions that bind them in their suffering states. Whether their suffering state is right now in a war zone, or whether it's in an argument, conflict with someone, whether it's trapped in an unhappy relationship, or in a place of work they find unfulfilling, whatever form of suffering they are experiencing, they are trapped in these situations because of their afflictions. Hence, we tend to meet similar circumstances again and again and again, because those same causes are still abiding on our continuum. Moreover, where we observe others acting in ways we know are harmful, they are acting in self-centered ways and thereby destroying the environment, acting in self-centered ways and deceiving, taking advantage of others, acting in self-centered ways and thereby harming others. We recognize that these beings are suffering and they are creating the causes to suffer further. Thinking like this then, compassion will arise. May they attain a state freed of suffering. May they no longer be compelled to engage in ways that causes harm to themselves and to others. May they too gain freedom from their afflictions and their non-virtuous karmic traits. So here we generate love and compassion for others. But the way to generate love and compassion is, as I've described, which is using reasons, not just to merely, may others be freed of suffering, may others abide in happiness, but use reasons, recognize how beings are creating the causes for their suffering, as well as how they are experiencing suffering. And also use reasons to see that they are at a fundamental difference, a fundamental level, no different from ourselves. Because I want to emphasize this, the importance of using reasons in our meditation. It's reasons that convince us to do things or not to do things. This we know from our everyday life. So to make our meditation truly transformative, it can't be a mere expression of aspiration, but it needs to be based on reasons. So this is the second step of the meditation. The first was definite emergence. The second is generating love and compassion by shifting our focus to others. And now the third is to generate actual bodhicitta, which comes about independence on love and compassion. And love and compassion comes about independence on the prior meditation on definite emergence. So it's when love and compassion arises deeply within us, the point will come when merely wishing for others to be freed from their afflictions and to abide in a state of lasting happiness, this mere aspiration will be unsatisfactory to us. We will want to bring that about. We will see it as our very responsibility, as my individual responsibility. Because by now, through our own spiritual development, we will understand the process that by which beings attain freedom, because we are striving in that ourselves, and we know others need to engage in that same process. So independence on experiencing our own spiritual development and our own developing skill at dealing with problems and our own growing peace of mind, we all know this is possible for us, and therefore it is possible for others too. And thereby, we start to give rise to a genuine sense of responsibility towards others. But with this responsibility, which comes about through coming to know ourselves very well, we recognize our limitations. So we generate the determination, I need to become freed of limitations. I need to become a being that it has no limitation and thereby has all good qualities perfected and can engage with others in the perfect way at the perfect time. And this then leads to the determination, I must become a Buddha for the sake of others. And this is how we generate bodhicitta, this powerful, courageous mind. So the first step in the meditation was definite emergence. The second was love and compassion. The third now was the generation of bodhicitta. Thereafter, the next step is to meditate on the practices of a bodhisattva. So these are the six, starting with generosity, the wish to give of ourselves of others. And this can be expressed in many ways. Material generosity to ease the suffering of others, giving of our time and our friendship, giving of our good advice based in the Dharma. Develop this wish to seek out opportunities where, in dependence or in relation to our skill and capacity, we can help and do so. Reflect then on ethics, the determination to restrain our mind from the affliction so that we do not harm others. When we're engaging with others, we do so skillfully, not harming them, always ensuring that our mind is refrained from the afflictions. Thirdly, the practice of patience. This is based on our prior generation of love and compassion, where we feel a sense of closeness and warmth towards others, a tenderness at whomever we call to mind. This then combined with ethics, with the determination not to harm them. And with this is the understanding of the mental process that people, for example, who act to us in a harmful manner, we know why they're doing so. They are helpless. They are overwhelmed right now by their afflictions. That's all. They are not a bad person. And moreover, our practice of patience is based also in generosity, the wish to give of ourselves to others. So with all these minds developed within us, patience is sincere and easy to do. No matter what we encounter, our mind stays undisturbed. And that is the practice of patience. No matter what hardship we encounter, whether from others or within ourselves, our mind stays undisturbed because of love, compassion, generosity, ethics, and wisdom. The fourth meditation is that of joyous perseverance, where we reflect on our ongoing spiritual development, we see the progress that's being made. We also recognize how our interactions to others are becoming ever less harmful, ever more beneficial, and we rejoice and commit to ongoing spiritual endeavor. Fifthly is concentration. So in these meditations, one tries, all of them are analytical. Concentration is the one that is not. So in the analytical meditations, we try and meditate in a way that's undistracted, and when we are distracted, we bring our mind back to what we are cultivating, whether it's ethics or generosity and so forth. And this strengthens our concentration. Moreover, when a feeling arises within us of perhaps of love or compassion, we rest with that, develop, strengthen our familiarity with that mind, that virtuous mind, and that too strengthens our concentration. Then the sixth is that of emptiness, wisdom, the wisdom realizing emptiness, which we discussed yesterday. How does the self appear? Does it exist in this way or not? And one investigates, coming to recognize that the self is empty of existing in the way that it appears. It's merely labeled, the self is merely labeled onto the body and mind. So that then is the meditation to engage in. Starting with definite emergence, love and compassion, bodhicitta, and then the various meditations of the bodhisattva, from generosity up to wisdom. And this meditation that one does, as you all have done right now by listening to these varying points and recalling them to mind, these all create imprints. These are the imprints that when this life ends, will travel with you to your next life, and will determine the quality of the place of your rebirth, the realm of your rebirth, and the quality of that rebirth, the conditions you'll have there, as well as your potential to continue your spiritual development. So when we leave this life, we leave behind all our loved ones. We leave behind all our possessions. We leave behind our reputation and prestige. But what we do take are these imprints. Our luggage that we travel from life to life has no weight, but it has a powerful impact.
When one has generated bodhicitta,
Then in the meditation, one meditates on the six perfections, those practices from generosity to wisdom. So these are the usual practices that one will, of a bodhisattva that one will meditate on. There is another list of four that one can meditate on in addition to these. And these are called the four ways to positively influence others. So the first, and these are, in addition to things that one should reflect on, but guidance for how one should live one's life. So these four ways to positively influence others, how, as someone who holds the bodhisattva ideal, one should interact with others. The first is generosity. And here again, I want to emphasize the meaning of generosity, because when we hear this term, we usually think of giving material things. And this is, of course, included in material generosity. We've also heard how generosity is offering of one's practice. But certainly in this case, it refers to generosity practiced through one's body, speech, and mind. The mental side is the wish to give. And the expression of that is giving with one's body. So this can be giving material things. It can be providing help, being physically present for others, helping others. And through one's speech is through the way of speaking, helping others. So giving good advice. Giving good advice and helping others through one's speech. So this is the broader understanding of the practice of generosity. It goes far beyond mere material generosity. The second of the four ways to positively influence others is the way to verbally communicate with others. And also it would include physical communication. We should speak pleasantly to them. We should have a pleasant disposition. When we meet others, engage with others, we should ensure that our face reflects our warm heart, that we meet others and we display our joy and pleasure at being in their company. And we talk to them in a way that soothes their mind, that helps them want to be in our presence. So this is the second of the four ways to positively influence others. And it's literally speaking pleasantly or eloquently, but this should be taken to also include one's physical way of interacting with others. The third, then, this is guiding others in how to cultivate the minds of the Dharma, how to cultivate virtue. So this will be, where appropriate, guiding others in how to be ethical, guiding others how to be generous, how to be patient, and so forth. So this really means teaching the Dharma, but doing so in a way that's specific or appropriate, that's suitable to one's own capacity, as well as the capacity of the person that you are engaging with. So that is the third, which really is teaching the Dharma, but doing so in a way in accordance with your own capacity and theirs. Then the fourth of the four ways to positively influence others is to act in accordance with what one is saying oneself. In brief, it means not to be a hypocrite, or to express it differently, to walk the talk. So that where one is directly or indirectly guiding others in the Dharma, one should be living that life oneself. In particular, one's mind should be in accordance with the Dharma. So these are the four ways to positively influence others. Generosity, speak to them in a pleasant way, guide them in the Dharma, and one oneself should live in accordance with the Dharma. This is something that we all need to do, myself included. This is how we should live our lives, because as those who aspire to the paths of the Mahayana, we aspire to have a positive influence on others. So we should take this guidance of the four ways to positively influence others as guidance on how to live our own lives.
Then continuing with
the end of the 13th and into the 14th verse. Thus you are well advised to accumulate as much merit as possible, not being overly excited at slight pleasures, nor overwhelmed by trivial problems and difficulties. Turn away from the commotion of this life, and thus may all migrators attain sustenance through delight in the Dharma. This line, thus you're well advised to accumulate as much merit as possible. Should rather take that as being, thus I have accumulated so much merit, something like that. So Lama Tsongkhapa is saying about himself, through having given this brief teaching, he has accumulated so much merit, and now he's going to come to the part where he sets an example of how to dedicate the merit that has been accumulated.
Lama Tsongkhapa now, in the process of showing the example of dedicating his merit, he's doing so for the benefit of all sentient beings. So you can take this then as being both advice for us, as we are those for whom, included amongst those for whom he is dedicating. So we can take this as also advice for how we should be living our life. So in the first two lines of the 14th verse, not being overly excited at slight pleasures, nor overwhelmed by trivial problems and difficulties. So here the dedication that Lama Tsongkhapa is making is that all beings may utilize their precious human rebirth well, primarily really through developing their wisdom, and through the development of their wisdom to look at their life in a balanced, realistic manner, and not in the extreme manner that we currently live our lives. Because how we live our lives is really expressed in these two lines. When we experience some pleasures, our mind becomes totally overwhelmed with joy and happiness, and we bask in our happy days. And our mind turns from the Dharma. We may recite our prayers, but our heart's not quite in it. Everything is fine. On the other hand, when things are going well, our mind becomes dominated by these problems. And then when we recite our prayers, we may have more urgency, but our mind is really more filled with our problems than what we are reciting or trying to meditate on. And moreover, in both instances, our focus, whether it's on the pleasure or the pain of life, is on something that is fleeting and will soon pass. But it's dominating our mind, giving it a value that it just does not have. So therefore, this dedication is that may we develop our wisdom so that we can live more in a way that is more balanced, that we can stay centered. And the truth of what is expressed here, we know. We think of all the problems that have tormented us so. Well, really, we can't think of them. Most of them are forgotten. But at the time, they were awful. And all the pleasures that filled us with such joy, they're gone too. Developing this, we'll stay focused on what's important. So what's included in this dedication from Lama Tsongkhapa is that as we become more balanced, more centered, more wise, the way we will experience life's pleasures and problems will be radically different. For sure, we want to experience life's pleasures and be freed of life's problems, but when they come, firstly, we don't allow them to overwhelm us. Secondly, we use them as a basis to reflect on the sufferings of samsara, reminding ourselves that even these mere pleasures have no value. And likewise, these sufferings, these are in the nature of suffering. They will continue to arise. And then we use it as a basis for bodhicitta. May myself and all beings be freed from being overwhelmed by pleasures of no real value. And may we rather turn away from more forms of suffering and attain the lasting state of enlightenment. This then is the way that a skilled practitioner relates to the pleasures of this life as well as the pains of this life. And this is the heartfelt aspiration Lama Tsongkhapa is expressing here.
dinigi ne par shoho se de manam je gore.
Building on what was expressed in the first two lines, or the third and the fourth, firstly, turn away from the commotion of this life. This we normally express as the rat race, this busyness that seems to occupy every single day of our life. When we look at the busyness of life through the lens of what was presented in the first two lines, we see how it really has no essence. And how to continue to be overwhelmed by this endless commotion, this endless busyness. This is what distracts us from living a meaningful life. This is what consumes our time and our physical and mental energy. This we need to recognize and gain a deeper balance. There's some that needs to be done. There's a lot that doesn't. Then what we should rather be focusing on is the fourth line. May all my graces attain sustenance through delight in the Dharma. So by gaining a more balanced life, we have time to read and cultivate and meditate the mind of the Dharma within us. And as we develop skill there, by gaining a more balanced life, whilst engaging in our various activities that we do need to go engage in to sustain our life, our mind will be not so busy, and we'll be able to keep it on the Dharma whilst engaging in the various activities that one needs to engage in. In this way, one's mind is not caught up in the commotion of this life, but one is able to abide in the Dharma, both with our books, with our meditation, and whilst engaging in our ordinary activities. So in this way, our cultivation of the essential minds like Deputy Emergence, Love and Compassion, Bodhicitta, and the six perfections of generosity up to wisdom, all those that were mentioned in the meditation earlier, we can start to develop them ever more in meditation and keep them present whilst we're going about our daily activities. And when we left our last life and came to this one, and when we leave this and go to the next, all that we'll carry with us is our imprints. The imprints that we have accumulated through all this commotion, as well as the imprints we've accumulated through abiding in the minds of the Dharma. And it's those imprints that provide us with sustenance. So let's make the sustenance that supports our life, that be the virtuous imprints of the Dharma. And living this life will bring us great delight, delight in the Dharma that is arising and abiding within.
Andor dunada jerim chi nge dinima du chen che she she dama ti she sunam pa tu me ba sa yore es di nge sunam di gi nyu ba di gi ne jo wa sem jen tham che ji bu ji yon ne en che nyam le chang nyam le che ya ji da an ne ji gang a che we ne che nyam le che ya ra wa shu wo Denigi Yamlan Chine, and it's Jiki Missy. Denigi Dena Temba, Mr. Sore Shaw said, Chicky Gawa to you, Denigi Guru Shaw, and didn't want about that or do not.
In brief, Lama Tsongkhapa is setting the example of taking all the virtue that he's accumulated and dedicating it to the welfare of all. May all beings develop a balanced outlook, focusing on what's important. Letting go of what has no real value, and cultivating what's important, these minds of the Dharma deep within, and have those guide them and guide their interactions in all circumstances and with all beings. And in this way, may all beings rapidly attain lasting happiness.
Dinyun Juyue Sunam Shing Gusu Jivi Khe Lela Khe Pailin Sheja Gaiwi Ngor Gelong Losang Jabi Me Jabi Me
Concludes with, so that all migrators in general can accumulate merits, as well as for artisans, those who have inquiring minds, and the wise and illustrious, all of whom are of great fortune,
The monk Losan Drakpa taught these verses urging to take the essence of this life.
The meaning of this final verse then is that the monk Lobsang Drakpa, Lama Tsongkhapa, was requested to give a brief teaching that will enable migrators to accumulate vast stores of merit. So therefore, he has done this. He's taught these verses urging to take the essence of this human life so that beings can cultivate seeds of virtue into the field from which all good qualities will grow. And those who requested this teaching would have been artisans, so perhaps sculptors as well as tanka painters, as well as for those who have inquiring minds. So those who have inquiring minds, the wise and the illustrious. So this refers to those who have interest in the Dharma, because as was mentioned earlier when talking about meditation, interest in the Dharma ideally should be one based on inquiry, wanting to understand oneself well, wanting to understand why we are in this situation and what we can do about it, rather than just a mere blind acceptance, which leads to fairly weak recitation as opposed to deep transformation. So here, those who requested these teachings would have included artisans as well as those with a deep interest in the Dharma. And this is expressed by those who have inquiring minds and the wise and illustrious. So they requested the teaching, and Lama Tsongkhapa therefore taught this text, verses urging to take the essence of this human life.
The very essence of what we've looked at in these these days together, is that we need to recognize this incredible opportunity we have, but that it is really finite. So right now, from right now, utilize well what remains of this life to train our mind in the manner that has been presented here. And this is advice from this great being Lama Tsongkhapa to all of us. And when I say all of us, I mean myself too. I'm the one sitting in front who's propounding, who's giving the teaching. But this is advice for all of us. Everyone needs to live their life in the way that is presented here. So I make this commitment to live my life in accordance with what's presented here. And it's my sincere hope that you'll join me in living a life of virtue in this way.
This in conclusion, when we now come to dedicate, but before we do, I just want to say from my side that seeing all of you here brings great joy to me, because I know you all came here with a good motivation, a motivation to develop yourself spiritually, to become the person that you have the potential to be. So you've all come here with a good motivation, a motivation to truly fulfill your human potential and thereby have an ever greater beneficial impact on those around you and our world in general. So this really delights me. So I want to say thank you for that. And also thank you for giving me the opportunity to read through this text, to think on its meaning, and to share it with you. I've accumulated a lot of virtue, and I've really enjoyed having this opportunity. So I also want to thank you for that. And then I also want to say specifically thank you to those who helped make this happen. So those in our present time, the director Dundrup and SBC Andy, as well as Drime, who looks after here, and of course the Venerable Tepel, who looked after all of you through the many sessions and guided you, I know, with great care and with great skill. And then also to thank you to those who also contribute, and I don't know your names and what all the different people do, but many people helped make this time happen. And this shows, as something we mentioned in yesterday afternoon's talk, our deep interconnected relationship. We are not independent beings, self-contained islands. We are deeply interconnected. I have created a lot of virtue in these few days. Independence on the students and the staff. And you have all created a lot of virtue. Independence on your fellow students and the staff. So we recognize this relationship that we share with all beings, this close, entwined relationship. Now when we come to dedicate, we dedicate to the great leaders of beings, great beings such as His Holiness, that
that may all the great leaders or beings remain in our world for a long time, and that those great beings who have departed, such as Lama Zopa, may they quickly return. Then we dedicate that all beings may develop the wisdom that was presented in this text. May all beings live virtuous lives, bringing no more harm into our world and only bringing benefit.
And also, my English is a little limited. I have an understanding of the meaning of the text, but I'm limited in how I communicate this. So without the translator, this would not have been possible. So I mention this just as to further emphasize this point in conclusion on dependence arising, this deep entwined relationship we have. It's not our first time that we are meeting. It's not our first lifetime together. And it won't, and we'll continue to meet in this way, growing, developing, and contributing to each other's spiritual development and the spiritual development of our world. So thank you very much. Thank you.